Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for making this occasion of another convocation a reality. We have tasted of your goodness for these several years. We have touched you. We have felt you. You have proved yourself beyond measure to us. Lord, and we ask and pray that this conference will be for us a major landmark for moving this work yet forward to the glory and the praise of your name. As we come before you this evening, we open our hearts. We ask you to cause your light to be made brighter. Open our eyes to the things you have prepared for us. Help our understanding by your Spirit. Show us the things that we need to know and give us the enablement to walk in them. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. About 2 days before the pre-conference, the Lord began to call my attention to something, and that was in relation to this conference. The word came and said, the unconquered territories. The unconquered territories. And the Lord began to open up a few scriptures to my spirit. And it will be like God is calling our attention to something that we need to look at. And when the prophecy came at the pre-conference, I was able to see that word in that same light when the Lord said, it is time to move on, to move over to the other side. Now, because of time, I will just go straight to a few scriptures. Joshua chapter 23. You want to come with me to the book of Joshua chapter 23. The unconquered territories. And I'll read the first 3 verses. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Verse 3. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Chapter 24, verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gahash. 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. 33. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Ephraim. Praise the Lord. It doesn't look like the reading is making any sense yet. Now, Moses, the servant of God, was raised to lead a people to the promised land. But Moses, by the strong hand of the Lord, brought the people out of Egypt into the wilderness. It was nothing to God to deliver the nation of Israel from Egypt. The Bible says, by a strong arm did the Lord deliver the nation of Israel from the land of Egypt. Moses, Egypt was not a threat to Moses. The visible Egypt, There are two Egypts in the context of what we are saying this evening. There was the visible Egypt, there was the invisible or the hidden Egypt. Now, to Moses, the visible Egypt was not a problem. The visible Egypt could not overwhelm, overpower, or overcome Moses. But there was the invisible Egypt. Moses came out of the visible Egypt, but could not enter into the promised land because of the invisible Egypt. What the visible Egypt could not achieve, the invisible Egypt achieved. It was the invisible Egypt that killed Moses. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we are going to see as we read that which is visible, which you see as the mountains, because you can see the mountain, it's easy to join hands with the Lord in the place of faith and cast the mountain away. Amen. But there is that which is invisible. The wall that is invisible and yet within is stronger than the visible wall. Amen. Now, Judges chapter 1. Moses died without entering the land. Joshua died. Joshua entered the land, but all the nations had not been conquered when Joshua died. Not only did Joshua die, Eleazar, the high priest, also died. The elders died, and yet the nations had not been conquered. Amen. Judges chapter 1, from verse 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first, to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Remember that as at this time that Joshua had died, they had conquered Canaanite nations, but there were yet Canaanite nations, even when they have come into the land. Amen. They had already conquered Canaanite nations, but there were Canaanite nations yet to be conquered, and yet they were in the land. Verse 2. The Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Verse 3. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. Verse 17. And Judah went with Simeon, his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. 18. Also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ashkelon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Judah and Simeon were able to drive out the inhabitants of the mountain. Now, when we come into new birth, there were the inhabitants of the mountain staring us in the face. And it was no problem dealing with those ones because they are visible. Praise the Lord. Fornication is visible. Certain habits and characters are visible. Things that visibly do not go with the testimony of Christ, they are visible. Things that you say, "I know a Christian does not do this," they are visible. And they are the inhabitants of the mountain. And it's easy to deal with those ones. But after we have dealt with those ones, you have dealt with the Canaanites on the mountain and the Perizzites on the mountain. But there are Canaanites within, and there are Perizzites within. Amen. The Egypt that destroyed Moses was not the Egypt of Pharaoh. It was the Egypt within. The Egypt of Pharaoh could not overcome Moses. But the Egypt inside of the nation of Israel was the one that killed Moses. Amen. There is the war without, there is the war within. It's easy to deal with the war without, but it is not easy to deal with the war within. Amen. Now, chapter 2, no, verse 27. Jump to verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in the land. You know what happened? Israel had come to occupy these lands, but they were unable to drive out those nations. And what happened? They began to live together with those nations. I don't know whether the picture is becoming clearer. There are those nations that after we have been working with the Lord for so many years, we have suddenly realized that we could not get over those nations. And so we have decided to cohabit with those nations. There are feasible Canaanites, and because they are feasible, you exercise all the faith to deal with them. So that it will not be like, oh, brother, you mean after these years you have not been able to deal with this situation. But there are Canaanites with them because they are hidden and because they are invisible. Because they are there and the brother watching you at a distance does not know that that nation exists within. It's easy to cohabit with that nation. Amen. Verse 27, verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. There are some of us, if not many of us, who are here under this voice this evening, that there are certain natures, certain habits, characteristics, that they are there, they exist. We have a deep knowledge of their existence, but we have put them to tribute. We are able to catch them. We are able to bring them under. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord to Moses is that they should all be destroyed. But we find that we have not been able to destroy them. So we make them to pay tax to us. We bring them under. We catch them under. But the fact that we catch them under make them more dangerous because they are there. Amen. Verse 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Halab, nor of Akzib, nor of Elba, nor of Afik, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites, the tribe of Asher, dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. 35. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres, in Aijalon, and in Shalbim. Yet the land of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became a tributaries. That's relative. The house of Joseph prevailed, but the prevailing is in the sense that they were able to subdue those nations under them, but they were cohabiting. Verse 36. And the coast of Amorites was from the going up to Akrabim, from the rock and upward. Chapter 2, verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Now, we are looking at two things this evening. We are looking at the things that we have overcome, which have become history in our spiritual and Christian experience, and that make us to be what we are visibly. But we are also looking at the things we have not yet overcome, and the things that God expects for us to overcome, to destroy. Because God said, you should not make a league. Don't cohabit. Don't live with those things. Amen. Don't live with those things. And we are going to see what the Lord said further as we proceed. Don't cohabit. Don't live with those things. Those are the things that could not make Moses to get into the promised land. And we are going to see some of those characteristics as we proceed. Because I believe the Lord will have us to re-examine our walk with the Lord as we go on. And as we go on, we should look at ourselves in the mirror of this world. Because the essence is for us to get to where God has ordained for us to get on. We are talking about a people that God has ordained to carry a glory that no man has carried before. But then, there are certain things that God expects must be handled now. We are talking about moving over. Where we are is war. Where we are moving over onto is also war in another dimension. Now, if we are done well on this side, then God can say, move over to the other side. If you have taken care of the enemies on this side, and you have succeeded in driving away the nations on this side, then we are to move over to get into another realm of warfare. Praise the Lord. I take verse 1 again, chapter 2, the book of Judges. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Verse 3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. That means there was a partial obedience involved. God gave an instruction. But that instruction was partially heeded. And God is saying, because you have partially obeyed me, I also will not fulfill the promise as I have promised. Now, there is a promise ahead of us, brethren. But that promise is also conditioned on something, on our obedience. Are we together? There is a promise of entering into rest. I will explain that later. There is a promise of bearing the glory. There is a promise of entering into a dimension of his person. But that promise is conditioned on total obedience. It's not partial obedience. Amen. Now, verse 3. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Verse 4. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Now let's jump to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many Israel as had not known all the words of Canaan. So there are two things by this statement. One, these nations are there to test the obedience of the child of God that is aspiring to move into attainment. There are things that you, looking at me this evening, is battling with within. I will touch some of them. That you are conscious of wars within. The wars that war within the soul that you are conscious of. Now, those things are there for God to test your obedience. It was nothing for God to take away the Canaanites that goes by the name of fornication, for instance. It was nothing for God to take away the Canaanite that goes by the name of anger, for instance. But do you know that the Canaanite that goes by the name of fornication, that is overt and feasible, may have been dealt with, but the Canaanite, the same Canaanite that goes by the same name within, which is hidden and invisible, which is only known to the one who is cohabiting with that nation, may be more dangerous, even though you are subduing it. The condition is not for you to subdue it. The condition is to destroy it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the children of Israel were going to leave Egypt, God was not going to, he did not promise that their entering into the land of promise will be to cohabit with any of those nations. In fact, when the prophecy came that the seed of Abraham was going to be in the land of bondage for 400 years, God said, because the iniquity of that land was not yet full. So that means by the time they were coming into that land of Canaan, the iniquity of the land was already full to such an extent that they ought to have been wiped out. The fact that they were still alive and Joshua died and those nations were still alive, they were not part of the promises. Praise the Lord. They were not part of the promises. The promise is that because the iniquity of that land will have been full, then they were due for total judgment. So, as we come into walking with the Lord after the manner of having our eyes on the attainment, it is with the knowledge of the fact that both the visible and the invisible nations of the Canaanites and the Perizzites were due for judgment. Praise the Lord. Many of us this evening, I'm sure it will be difficult for us to say hallelujah when I say praise the Lord, because many of us are cohabiting with the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Sidonians and the Hivites and the Hittites. They are the different natures with which we are cohabiting. So because we don't know where this brother is heading for, so we are not sure how strong our hallelujah should be. So, but let's journey on gradually. Praise the Lord. I believe that whatsoever the Lord is saying to us in this conference, it is out of a heart of love, so that we can get to where God has proposed for us. Praise the Lord. So we're in chapter 3. Now, verse 1, these are the nations which the Lord left to test, to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known the wars of Canaan. So two things. One, as long as those things are there, they are there to expose to yourself, because God knows who you are and how you are performing. But you need to know what is your level of obedience to God. So those things are there. The level of your obedience will determine to what extent you are able to deal with those nations within. Amen. The second thing is that those nations within are by the reason for which we learn art of war. If we know how to fight wars before, then new strategies of war has to emerge for us to deal with those nations within. If we had not known how to overcome some of those habits and characteristics, they are the sufficient reason why strategies of warfare to deal with those nations within will emerge. Amen. Verse 2. Only the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. If you are fighting war, what is the expectation of the end of that war? Everyone that fights in a war, what is his expectation? To win the battle. To win the battle. So, when God recognizes that there are wars to fight within, God's expectation is that you are going to win that battle. And God knows that by the principles of the world, you will know how to deal in war, in warfare, with those nations and overcome. So, two things. One, that you may know how far you have gone with the Lord, those things are there. Two, that you may know how to fight and win. Because we have been talking about the overcomer, you must have overcome something before you can talk about the crown. Amen. Verse 3. If you join verse 1 to verse 3, verse 3 will make meaning. So I take verse 1 and I jump to verse 3. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Verse 3. Namely, 5 laws of the Philistines. God intentionally left 5 laws of the Philistines, and then all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hamon unto the entry in of Hamath. Do you know the meaning of Philistines? It means to roll in the dust. It means to wallow in self. Now, and God is saying that 5 laws of the Philistines. So there are 5, at least 5 dimensions of the self-life that we must discover and conquer. It's a battle we have to win. If you are talking about attainment, if you are talking about overcoming, the battle that we must win the battle over the 5 laws of the Philistines. Now, these are about 8 nations that are mentioned in this passage, in this verse. 5 laws of the Philistines, then the Sidonians, the Hivites, the Hittites now? Verse 3. 5 laws of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, yeah, the Sidonians and the Hivites. 8 nations. Philistines, 5 laws of Philistines, then the Canaanites, the Sidonians and the Hivites. And then verse 4. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among, one, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and then you can have the Sidonians, which is in verse 3. 8 nations that the children of Israel we are cohabiting with. Amen. These nations were still there when the elders died. So in the life of Joshua, in the life of Eleazar, they could not see these nations conquered. But God spoke to Joshua. He said, even though the nations have not been conquered, he said, they fight the land by lot to Israel. So let every tribe know where belongs to him. So every tribe has to enter into his own possession by fighting war. So that means as long as there are Canaanites and Perizzites and Sidonians and Hivites and Hittites in the land, war has not ended. And as long as war has not ended, then there is no yet a rest. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. The unconquered nations. Let's come to verse 14. It says, for we are partakers of Christ. Is there an if there? Is there an if? Now, is this written to Christians or to unbelievers? Written to Christians. So, now, what is the meaning of if? There is a condition introduced. So that means the people for which this is written may not be partakers of Christ. Amen. For we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, remember that Paul in Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, verses 7 and 8, was where we come back to this verse. Philippians 3 verse 7. We are talking about being partakers of Christ. Philippians 3, 7, and then 8. Verse 7. Paul, writing, said, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now look at verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dumb. That, can you tell me what the meaning of that in that place? Because it's showing us the reason, is that correct? The reason why he has counted all things as loss. What is the reason why Paul has counted all things as loss? That he may win Christ. Now, are you telling me that it was possible for Paul not to win Christ alone? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dumb, that I may win Christ. Now, this is Paul, one of the foundation apostles. He's saying that at the point at which he was writing, it was possible for him not to win Christ. Now, where we read in Hebrews 3:14, he says that there is one condition for us to be partaker of Christ. That condition is that if the war we began, we continue fighting that war until we have won every bit of the war and we have possessed every bit of the land of our promise, then we are partaker of Christ. Is that sounding a false doctrine? Oh, it's sounding false. Do you know that Jesus said in Revelation 2:7 that if you do something and you overcome, then I will not blot your name out of the book of life. Is that in your Bible? Is that in your Bible? Oh, so it means after somebody has become born again and has been working with the Lord but could not overcome, it's possible to step out of life into death? Is that possible? Now, somebody has grown to the spiritual height of Paul in this hall. I want to see the hands up. You have grown to the spiritual height of Paul, the apostle, and you are in this hall. I can't see any hand up. No, but Paul said it was possible for him not to win Christ. So, if it was possible for Paul not to win Christ, then it's possible for anybody not to win Christ. The condition for winning Christ and for being a partaker of Christ is that the war that you began to fight with all the strength of faith and confidence in you from the beginning of your faith, that same energy and zeal must be seen, being demonstrated until every inch of the land of your promise has come into your possession. The unconquered nations, there are those nations you have conquered, but those you have not conquered, they bear the same name with those ones you have conquered. Are we together? We are reading Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 15. Why it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. 16. For some, when they had heard, they have heard, did provoke. Albeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses did provoke. So that means that there were those who were not part of those that provoked. Verse 17. But with whom was God grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Were there believers in the wilderness whose carcasses fell? Were they? There were people whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. Verse 18. And to whom swear God that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. The word believed not is from the root word that means willful disobedience. Knowing what the Lord demands and refusing to obey. Willful disbelief. Willful disobedience. Praise the Lord. Let's make a small digression to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll come back to Hebrews chapter 4, chapters 3 and 4, but let's come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want us to remind ourselves of something here. We are dealing with the unconquered nations, and we are going to identify the unconquered nations individually. Now, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, are you with your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 10? Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. How many of us have been under the cloud? I want to see your hands up. I'm not talking about vision now. I'm not talking about faith now. You saw the physical cloud of glory. I know in the 70s. Those were the years when there was a Polaroid camera. And to demonstrate that a servant of God is preaching and there is a cloud over his head, you use Polaroid camera and then you begin to look for the cloud. Because what the eyes of man could not see, we believe that the Polaroid camera could see it. Now, but it was not the Polaroid camera with which they captured the glory. Are we together? They saw the glory physically. They saw it literally. Now, this is a warning that the Lord is giving to us here, that there are people that did not move in the realm of we just believe that there is a cloud of glory in this hall. They saw and they were baptized. They came under it. Now, let's come together. Moreover, brethren, I will not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers, all, not one, not two, no exception, we are under the cloud. And all passed through the sea. They all experienced the miracle. And we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. These are very serious spiritual experiences. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was who? Christ. Now, I don't know how many of us can boast of this testimony. Verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. If God was pleased with them, would they have been overthrown? No. Verse 6. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as we are some of them. As it is written, The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8. Neither let us commit a fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. If you check your Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, Esau was described as a fornicator. So you can know what it means to commit fornication. Esau, a fornicator, we had no account that Esau was on every corner of the street fornicating with girls. But that scripture said that, I think we should read it, Hebrews. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians. Hebrews chapter 12, it will be very helpful for us to look at it, have eye contact. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read quite a few scriptures. Now, look at verse 16. Are we there together? Are we there? Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for the morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, why is he called a fornicator? Hello? Why was Esau called a fornicator? Hello? Why was Esau called a fornicator? He sold his birthright. He sold his birthright. Now, do you know your birthright? Your birthright is the land of the promise. What is the land of the promise? Attainment to the character and the nature of Christ in his fullness. Praise the Lord. Now, this is your heritage. This is the birthright. But do you know it's possible to trade it away? Can it be traded away? Can your birthright be traded away? Now, a pot of porridge to Esau was physical, but for you, a pot of porridge are so many things with which you are contending. And for which reason you may trade off that glorious call, that glory awaiting you. Verse 8, Hebrews 12, no, verse 17 rather. For you know how that afterward, when he will have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau was a fornicator because he despised. There's a sense in which we can despise that which is the call for which God has called you. Remember, Jesus was saying something about the Pharisees in the epistles. He said they pay attention to so many things that are feasible, that they pay tithe even of anise, as small as that seed is, that they are so detailed that they pay tithe of those little seeds. He said, but there are some things more that are weightier. So they did not pay attention to the weightier matters of the law. And the weightier matters of the law, they are not feasible. The tithes they paid, we are feasible. So it is easy to deal with things feasible than to deal with the things which are hidden on the inside. Now, when he visited Martha in the village, Martha was concerned with things which are feasible. Praise the Lord. Was overwhelmed. How will the Lord be visiting with me and I will not take good care of the Lord? So, put some rice together. Put some beans together. Mary, come help me in the kitchen. And Mary sat at the feet of the Lord. And Martha became impatient with Mary and reported Mary to Jesus. Said, Master, help me speak because she respects you. Help me talk to Mary to come and assist me in the kitchen. The Lord said, Martha, 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 activities, Martha. Oh, I want to serve the Lord. Martha, sit down. He said, Mary has chosen the better part. Sit down. That Mary has chosen the better one. That which Mary chose, not many people will appreciate it. The one that everybody will appreciate is the one that is feasible. It is easy to deal with the one that is feasible. The one that is invisible, it's between you and the Lord. You know the wars within. There are such wars within the soul, beloved brethren, that we must deal with now. The Lord is taking us into higher dimensions of the glory. But there are things that if you don't deal with them, they will deal with you. Now you may be putting them to tributary. You are cohabiting with them. It's like they are not there, but they are there. Canaanites are always Canaanites. Whether you put them to tributary or not, they are Canaanites. Perizzites, Jebusites. They don't lose their own nature or their characteristics. Praise the Lord. Those that you deal with visibly, they can be cast out as demons. You understand? They can be cast out as demons. You can use faith to cast them out. But there are those ones inside that cannot be cast out that you have to deal with. Praise the Lord. You can come and hands can be laid over you a million times. Envy may not go out. Anger may not go out. Hello? You have to deal with it. It's a personal war. That's why Peter said that there's a place for working out your salvation. Was Peter talking to those who are not saved, who are not born again? No. He was talking to those who were not only born again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost was given as a weapon of war. Not only to cohabit with those habits within, but to get them out. But it's you who can handle it. Hello? We are in Hebrews chapter 4 now. Now, verse 1. Let us therefore... I didn't finish, but I think we should finish where we were in 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter 10. Because we need to move from there and see a few things in the book of Psalms and in the book of Numbers before I come back to chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews. I was reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As we go on, I want us to begin to interact with the Spirit of the Lord, because these are the great barriers we have got to deal with personally. 1 Corinthians. Now, I read verse 8, so let's go to verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the earth, of the world, are come. Now Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Briefly, Psalm 106. We are talking about the nations yet unconquered within. There are nations to be conquered within. I read from verse 7, Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. Verse 9. He rebuilt the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Verse 11. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Verse 12. Then, because of the miracle, believed they his words. They sang his praise. Verse 13. But they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. Verse 15 now. And he gave them their requests, but sent in the place leanness into their soul. Now, instead for them to see the miracles as opportunity to believe God to deal with those other nations, so they can enter into their rest in fullness, they did not believe God. Rather, they were looking at the carnal things and were making requests. And when God knew that that is where their interest lies, then God gave them their request. They sent what? Leanness into their soul. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. We are looking at the nations yet unconquered. Numbers chapter 11. And then we read from verse 4. Are we in Numbers 11? Are we there? But now, that's part of the complaint. Our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses had the people weep. These are elders of families. These were adults. These were grandparents. Moses had the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the body of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Verse 13. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Verse 14. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. Verse 15. And if thou be thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Now, we are talking about a people that have been delivered from Egypt. Now, the physical Egypt was not strong enough to kill Moses. But the Egypt that sat in the hearts of the people was strong enough to kill Moses. Praise the Lord. God has delivered us from the visible world out there. And there are some things you cannot do physically now. But do you know that there is a world seated within whose force can kill and destroy and rob you of the promised land? Amen. That's what God wants us to deal with this evening. Now we are back in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Is our Bible open to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1? Verse 1. Let us therefore fear. Lest a promise. Is there a promise ahead of you, brethren? Is there a promise ahead of you? Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith in them that had it. For we which have believed are entering into rest. In the book of Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12 was a prophecy about the Holy Ghost baptism being a measure and a dimension of rest unto God's people. But then, that is not the fullness of rest. For Peter said that was but a token of the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. Paul said it too. Now, but then, entering into that dimension of the promise of the Father is a measure of rest. But that measure of rest is to enable us to know, to deal with the nations within, that we may enter into the fullness of that rest. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works we have finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day of this wise, and God on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6. Since therefore it remaineth that some, not all, but some must enter. However difficult, some must enter. Praise the Lord. And God will account all of us here worthy to be among the some that we enter. He said, sin in verse 6, therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached. This message of rest was preached to a people, but they could not enter into it. Why? Because of unbelief, willful disobedience. Verse 7, again, he limiteth a day, a certain day. He has appointed or ordained a certain day, saying in the book of David, today in prophecy, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, the reason why they could not enter into that rest symbolically was supposed to be the physical land of Canaan. They came into the physical land of Canaan, but they could not enter into rest because they continued to fight war with the Canaanites in order to keep their heads bowed as long as, you know, they know how to fight war. So there was no rest. They kept fighting with those nations. No rest. But God said, there is yet a day appointed for a people must enter into that rest. Praise the Lord. A people must overcome. Verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice. That is the condition. Harden not your hearts. Verse 8. For if Joshua... In King James, it says, if Jesus, but that is Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Joshua himself died with those enemy nations still there. Many of the nations had not been taken over. Judah went, he could not overcome. He subdued them.
Asher went, he could not overcome. He subdued them. Every tribe, Joseph, prevailed. But the best they could do is to bring them under and cause them, subject them to tributary. There are many of us who are subjecting some of those nations to tributary. You are able to keep them under, but that's not the promise. That's not the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is to rid those nations out of your soul. Amen. But God says, it is ordained that some will enter to that realm of things. We enter into that dimension of experience. Where indeed, they are not only overcomers of the things we can see with our physical eyes, they are also overcomers of the nations within the soul. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus was not talking to partial overcomers in the book of Revelation. He was talking of overcomers indeed. Those who not only overcome the nations without, but who also overcome the nations within. Verse 8. If Joshua had given them rest, then we not afterward have spoken of another day. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, how do you know this rest in manifestation? Verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has done what? Ceased from his own works. Those works are the self-works. I said the five laws of Philistines. The word Philistine is speaking about the self-life. The self-life is seated within the soul. Those are forces within the soul. Now, how do you know that they are there? How do you know that those nations are there? You drive on the street and somebody drive trying to push you out of the road, drive so close as to almost brush you, and he overtakes you and slow down, and you almost hit the man from the rear, and you say, brother, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. I don't know how many of us have come to that extent. Then you will know that the Jebusite is inside. Because something within will react. That which is reacting at that instance of time is the nation you have not dealt with. Now, and God is making it to, is making you to know that that nation is still there. Praise the Lord. Now, why are there strifes? Tell me, why are there strifes? Those strifes, the man who is accused of causing strife, and the man who is able to discern that there is a strife in the man that is causing strife, how is he able to know that there is strife in that man? It's because there is strife in him. That's why he's able to know that it is strife. That's a nation within. If that nation is not overcome, brother, you are not entering yet into the rest. Praise the Lord. We are going to see, but let's move on a little. Now, verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us do what? Labor. Therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Praise the Lord. Now let's come to, briefly, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 16. The nations yet unconquered. You do well because you have conquered many nations. But can you identify the nations yet unconquered within the soul? Verse 16, Matthew 19. And behold, one came and said unto Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. I want you to underline that. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus is not here talking about the Ten Commandments. But let's go on. Verse 18. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We are going on. I said not the Ten Commandments. There are two keys with which we will overcome. And I will show you. Verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Are we talking about perfection? If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all. Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had greater possessions. 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm sure Jesus was not talking about the fact that it's not good to have naira and kobo. In fact, he said somewhere that a man's possession, a man's rich or riches, are not consisting in the abundance of what he has. Somebody may be very poor and yet very rich. Hello? Economically, a man may be poor, but indeed, that man may be very rich. Jesus said, sell all that you have. The things we have are those nations. We have to empty ourselves of those nations. For those are the nations that make you to assert yourself. Hello? A rich man, we assert his richness. A rich man, we make himself known by others that I am rich. In this place, I want you to know that I'm in charge. That's a rich man. Let's go on. Verse 22. But the young man had that saying. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. 24. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. This is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Now I'm going to show you something. Verse 28. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, if you remove the comma and you read it through, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what is the Lord saying here? You who have followed me in the regeneration. In the regeneration is not in the tomorrow. The regeneration is an ongoing present work. Hello? You who have followed me in the process of entering, in the process of becoming like me, those of you who have followed me in the ongoing process, and you are able to follow me through. Remember Hebrews 3:14? To be a partaker of Christ, if you hold fast the beginning of the confidence, those of you who have followed me steadfastly in this ongoing process, and you are able to follow through unto dealing with all the nations within, then you also follow me and get to the throne. Praise the Lord. Now, there is an ongoing process now. That ongoing process is a process of change. The word regeneration is bringing into birth. So, there is a process, an ongoing process of change. If you can follow me through that process to the end, then you discover that the end of that process is that you will also sit on the throne. Praise the Lord. Regeneration is not something that happens miraculously or suddenly. It's a process. It's a journey. That journey begins in the place of dealing with the nations on the outside. Those who have genuine encounter at salvation, the people around them, they are able to say that something has happened to them. Praise the Lord. There are some things that you used to do before you got born again that you lost the power and the capacity to do again. And the people around you, the unbelievers, they take note of it. So, that is because you have fought some battles on the outside and you have won. But after you have won the battles on the outside, that everybody is able to acknowledge, then you begin to fight the battles on the inside. Now, but the writer in the book of Hebrews said that you do not become a partaker of Christ except that the how that you overcome in the beginning, you continue to overcome and overcome and overcome until indeed you have become a partaker of Christ. So it's not because you have won the battle and people have come to recognize that you are a spiritual brother or a spiritual sister. Do you know the greatest battle for us now are those personality traits that you know that you have? You know it. You know the strong characteristics that you have. Do you know that some of those strong personalities within can be the undoing of a spiritual man? Hello? Now, a man has very strong characteristics, very strong personality traits before he got born again. When he got born again, the strong personality remains. And that's why it's possible to bring other brethren under you and rule over them. It is not the spirit of Christ in you, but the strong personality, that nature, that natural thing in you, that self-life manifesting itself, towering itself above every other one around you. There are some spiritual brethren who cannot stand another opinion. They cannot stand another opinion. They cannot stand it. It's a strong personality. Amen. That strong personality must be judged, must be dealt with. Otherwise, the promise can become invalid. Praise the Lord. Now, Moses, I'm not sure Moses recognized that he had anger, problem with anger. Hello? If anybody will not enter the promised land, will it be Moses? Moses beseeched God with tears and said, "Let me come into this land. We have heard about this promise for so long." The best that God could do was to bring him to the mount, is it Pisgah now, and showed him that the best I can do for you, because I love you, I honor you, I respect you, the best is that look at that land. Look at the glory of that land, but you not enter into it. Why? Strong personality that he could not deal with. Beloved brethren, you have overcome some nations. Those nations you overcame, they were visible nations. But there are walls. Walls. W-O-R-L-D-S. Seated within that little sister. That little brother. The wall within is bigger than the you sitting down. The nations within, they are stronger than you sitting on that seat. But you don't know until they are challenged. Amen. You don't know those characteristics and habits are there, except they are provoked. God said they are there to test your obedience. Because if you are willing to obey, the Bible says, you will eat the fruit of the land if you are willing to obey. So the test is a test of obedience. It's not about partial obedience, it's total obedience. So Jesus said, those who follow me through in this process, then they will also sit with me and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember a prophecy in the book of Hosea chapter 6 verses 2 and 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. So there is a following on to know the Lord. So knowing the Lord is not something that happens once and that's the end. It just happened, bam, and I know the Lord. No, it's a process. It's a journey that you must go through. Now, when God provides an opportunity for you to discover the nation within, God is exposing it to you so that you can war and win that battle against that nation. Praise the Lord. Now, let's quickly come. I'll take a few more scriptures and then we close. Deuteronomy chapter 6. There are two things that God spoke to me recently. One was what was captured in my spirit, the battle of the ages. And God put by the side of it the love law. And then this one came, and the Lord said, the unconquered territories. He called it the unconquered territories. And he said, the love law. And that's why I'm going to tie a few scriptures to the keys with which we can win this battle. Praise the Lord. I'll just take a few scriptures. We cannot go all the org. But let's come to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll begin to read from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll just show a few, one, two things from a few scriptures. And then we'll be done for tonight. Verse 1. Are we there, please? Hello? Now, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments. Remember I said you should underline something the other time. When Jesus was speaking about, when he was talking to the young man, you need to keep all the commandments. Now I want to narrow those the commandments to two things that the Lord spoke later. Now, but let's go on from here. He said, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commands to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. God is trying to make us know how we can win the battle and inherit the promises. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlet between thy eyes. Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, brief comments, and then we quickly run to Matthew 22. God has emphasized something in these verses of scriptures. He has said the heart. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Two departments. The heart is representing your spirit. And then the soul is representing where all the words take place. Now, the spirit, when you got born again, your spirit got born again because you won some battles. Praise the Lord. So, the battles relative to your spirit have been won, and so you got born again. But then, the battles relative to the soul are yet to be won. And God is saying, how may you win the war or the battles? By loving the Lord in that department. It doesn't make sense yet. Now, let's go on. Matthew 22. We dovetail into something that Paul wrote about that you are familiar with, but let's go on. Matthew 22. So that the scriptures will speak by themselves and register something in your spirit. Matthew 22, verse 34. Are we there? We are not there yet. Are we there? But when the Pharisees, in verse 34, heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt do what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Is he quoting scriptures? Is Jesus quoting scriptures? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That means the greatest commandment. That means the greatest key by winning the war is what I have said. Are we able to see something here? He said, this, verse 38, is the first and great commandment. Verse 39. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The love law. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Every message hang on this statement. Praise the Lord. That means the platform of entering into life, the platform of winning the battles in the soul, the platform or the key of winning is the key of love. And I'm going to show you briefly. Praise the Lord. Now let's jump to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we read briefly from verses 25. We just drove tail into something, and then we pray. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? 26. He said unto him, what is written in the law, and how readest thou? 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do. And what will happen to you? What will happen to you? So, that means that love is a key to moving into the realm of life. And what are we talking about? We are talking about life. Now, let's move to the next scriptures in the book of Mark. The book of Mark. We are talking about the unconquered territories. And we are saying the key to conquering those territories lie in what we are reading from those scriptures now. It may not yet make sense until we narrow down to what Paul said or what he wrote. Now, let's go on to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark 12, 28. It says, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked them, which is the first commandment of all? 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is what? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this. Now, this is Jesus Christ talking. So that means there are two keys he has given to us. But how may we apply the keys? Let's see, come on a little. John 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. What is that commandment? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love. Just stop at that point. That ye love as I have loved. That ye love. That's a key. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we read from verse 7. Brethren, I write a new commandment unto you. Jesus also called this a new commandment. It's a revelation. It's a key into something. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The whole commandment is the word which ye have had from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Verse 9. He that seeth is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. Verse 10. He that loveth, you may not hurt his brother here. The key is he that loveth does what? Abide in the light. And there is none occasion for stumbling, for losing the battle in him. Hello? He that loveth abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11. But he that hateth is in darkness. Hate is a nation within. He that hateth is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Praise the Lord. 2 John. Jump to 2 John verse 5. 2 John verse 5. And then verse 6. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Verse 6. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. After that, the last scriptures. And then we'll dwell on that a little. And then we round up in prayers. 1 John 3, 14. I want us to, all of us, read this together. And then I will paraphrase it. Are we there? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. 1-2 go. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love. I want us to stop just there. Because we love. Now, can we take it again? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love. Again, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love. He that loveth not, forget about his brother. He that loveth not, abideth in air. He that loveth not, abideth in what? Praise the Lord. Each time you read that passage, read it that way. Then you know you are touching a key. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, and then we close with that. We are talking about the unconquered territories. How may you win the battle? And then, I say, there are two keys. That key is one key with two